Hello, everyone, and welcome to our very first transfer talks of this. Well, it will be for 2025, obviously, because we're in 2024 season. And this is also the debut of Patrick in this series, as obviously last year was with Ewan, but Ewan has gone to the cyclist, whatever it's called. But yeah, basically what this is, we discuss rumors. Well, now it's rumors. And then eventually when we get in towards the confirmations, we'll go through that. And yeah, it's just a nice little series. And I mean, Patrick, some of the transfers we've seen that came this year have already done particularly well. Yeah, Mathieu Jorgensen, I'm thinking of him. Is there anyone you can think of?
Lambda, yeah. Quickstep, he did really good in Catalonia. So awesome, everyone. None of them, like, jumping off the top of my head. I mean, some of them don't, like, fully kind of fled. Maybe Jakobsen hasn't hit the ground running as people were expecting. So it's not always like the grass isn't always green. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, Roglic taking a win as well. So
that's true. It was Ben. Yeah, very sadly, that Basque country did not end well. But yeah, he did have that one stage win. So it was prospectful science there, wasn't that? But
and we're smiling because it's so terrible. If we don't smile, we'll cry.
Yeah. Del Toro as well. That's a good one.
Oh, yeah. We might as well start our first transfer. I think he's a Neo Pro as well. Lawrence Piffy. You're a big fan of him, the Kiwi rider. He's had some good results, really showing himself. Top 10 in Paris-Roubaix, as we spoke about in the recap. He's been linked to Bora quite strongly. And I mean, Patrick, what do you think of this? So, Gazzetta dello Sport and Daniel Benson have confirmed that he will join Bora in 2025. So, yeah. They seem to be pretty bang on when it comes to these rumours.
I don't know what I make of this transfer. Obviously, we'll get into some of the other ones, but Groupama seemed to be dropping the ball pretty big time. This is just the first one we'll be talking about, that real kind of young stars coming through, but we're really going to be this. It's got like a rebuild almost of Groupama, but it's not turning out that way. Piffy, yeah, great talent. He won the Cadel Evans Great Ocean Road Race, seems to climb really well, great classics style, but he's also quite fast in a sprint as well. He's a bit like the new Bonin or something like that, if you can even, like, that's what I see his rider profile being like. Really exciting rider. Is he better off at Bora? Marginally.
Bora, like, where were Bora in Paris-Roubaix?
Well, yeah, you can say that. You can say the upside of him going to Bora is that he will likely be the classics leader. Well, he will get more leadership opportunity because, I mean, they've got Welsford and Mayus in there as their kind of pure sprinters, but maybe they're looking for that person to really lead there, to kind of fly the flag since the departure of Pollitt in the actual kind of pure cobbled classics like your Roubaix and your Flanders. So I think the Piffy does fulfill that role really well. So I can understand why this makes a lot of sense. It sucks for Groupama because I thought that him and Kung would be a really good partnership moving forwards. But in terms of a career progression move, I think it makes a lot of sense. I think Bora and Pansgo just have more kind of like financial backing than Groupama do. So as like a career development move, I think that it's a really good idea for Piffy to do that, to go to Bora. And yeah, because they just seem a little bit more, I don't want to say professional, that's not really the correct word, but it just seems like a team on like a slightly higher, just a one step up, I'd say. You know, Bora is definitely like an A tier team, whereas I think lots of people would probably say Groupama and FDJ is maybe like a B tier sort of team. I'm turning this into a tier.
No, but you're right. It's like, this is a guy that they could have looked to for the future, and now they're losing him. Like, what is it, his first year on the World Tour? He's been with the development team. Like, what are FDJ doing? Isn't this the point? The Pinot era is gone. David Gaudu doesn't seem like he's rolling with the punches right now. And then Stefan Kung. Okay, Stefan Kung is very good. But like you said, those two could have been a powerful duo. And in this era of World Tour points, those two riders could absolutely sweep up a lot in the classics, but there is that vacuum for Bora, and with the extra Red Bull money and all this, I think this is a perfect move for Bora. and a great move for Pithy. Anyway, Patrick, we might as well move on to the next rider. And like you said, it seems to be an exodus of top talents from Groupama FDJ. One of your favorite riders, Gregoire, he's been linked to EF Education Easy Post. And we also have Lenny Martinez to Bahrain Victorious. And I mean, these two young guns, future for French cycling, and have already tasted success already on the top level. And yeah, what do you think of each of these?
I don't think that Gregoire's makes that much sense, personally. Because going to EF, I think it seems like just kind of like a lateral move. I think it's like a minute step up, but like not, it's not much. But the downside being that as an Ardennes-focused rider, I mean, they've already got quite a lot of good Ardennes riders. They've got Ben Healy and Nielsen Paulus, just to name a couple. I mean, there's probably a lot more in there. Plus, a load of other young talent, young guns in there, like Darren Rafferty, that they've already got in there. Maybe as part of like an EF, kind of like try to bolster their future. But yeah, I don't know, I feel like for Gregoire, for me it would make more sense to stay at Groupama and stick with like the French outfit, the big French hope, or maybe the days of just being kind of the French hope on a French team. Maybe that's over. Maybe French riders don't resonate with that anymore. Maybe it's just, it's all quite cutthroat. I need what's best for me, and maybe EF provides something better. I don't think they necessarily provide a stronger team. I do think that, you know, a team like Madouas, Kevin Genietz, Legac, and just stuff, I feel like they can provide a really strong team. So I'm not sure how much that will make sense, but Lenny Martinez to Bahrain, I think that does make sense. I mean, I think this is definitely a bit more open to discussion, whether it's like a positive or a negative move. He is a massively talented rider. And yeah, big GC prospect. He is kind of what Bahrain needs. Bahrain are in a little bit of a point where they don't have this big GC rider to rally around. They've got, you know, like Bilbao, they've got Wout Poels, they've got Jack Haig, they've got Santiago Boitlago, they've got the Italian Sniper, they've got all these guys. And I just feel like maybe Lenny Martinez is that kind of kingpin that they're looking to focus around, possibly. Do you think that Lenny Martinez can really switch things around for Bahrain or not?
I mean, he certainly is a rider with a lot of talent, and they definitely have that vacuum. So I think it's a great move, to be honest, for Lenny Martinez, and a big, big loss for Groupama FDJ. He was kind of the succession plan almost from like Pino, then Gaudu, and then Lenny Martinez. And then if he disappears, then yeah, Groupama is just in trouble, I think. That should be the title of this video for the first transfer talks. Do you think there's something wrong with the setup? Is that why we're seeing these three superstars? One, you could understand Pithy maybe because he's not French, but the two French guys in a French outfit, that's alarm bells.
Yeah, I don't know. Because it wasn't long ago that we were talking about how Groupama FDJ have the best under 23 team in the world. Like, it was this absolute development hub where everybody wanted Groupama FDJ riders because they were just insane at it. But yeah, it's weird why everyone's leaving, whether people just know something that we don't. I mean, they probably do, because there's obviously something going on which is causing all these young riders to go away. Based upon that, yeah, it's probably a very good move for both parties. I mean, I'm just looking at Bahrain's team, and when you consider that their big GC prospects with, like I said, Bilbao, Caruso, Wout Poels are 34, 36, and 36 years old, respectively. You know, they've got Boitlago in there, who's 24, but I think they fresh kind of like young gun to really focus the team around from a GC aspect, and I think that Lenny Martinez is that guy. So yeah, I think this transfer definitely is a really exciting one, because I think that Bahrain are a team which regularly punch above their weight, and I think that Martinez can contribute to that a lot.
Well, before we jump into big gun who is on the thumbnail of this video, the Milan San Remo winner, and second place finisher Paro Bay, who's been linked to another teams. I should have mentioned this earlier when we were talking about the classics of Bora Hansgrohe, because Bora Hansgrohe have also been linked quite strongly with Oya Lascano, who you're a big fan of, and obviously the Spanish rider is a bit of an enigma. A Movistar rider who's able to finish on the podium in Belgian Cobble Classics. For me, this move makes a whole lot of sense, and if they could get both Lascano and Lawrence Pithy, I think suddenly Bora might be challenging for a top three, a top two in the World Tour rankings as well.
Yeah, maybe that's like a long-term goal of theirs. Like I say, Lascano and Pithy look good, that is a deadly combination to be had, especially since both of them are like still so young. Like, they're both like 20, like Lascano's like 24, Pithy's like 21. Just be a ridiculously good combination moving forwards. Yeah, Lascano, I am surprised that Movistar perhaps I don't know how hard they're fighting for him, but again, it's very similar to the Groupama and the French riders thing. He is the main Spanish cobbled rider, and so it seems odd that he wouldn't ride for the main kind of Spanish World Tour. Like, he is that's the main Spanish team. Like, it's been around for decades. It's got a lot of history with it. Not in cobbled racing, really. But yeah, Lascano leaving Movistar would be a bit of a surprise. I think, especially since, you know, Movistar not having the Spanish champion would certainly be quite a blow for them. So I think that this is a win for Lascano and definitely a big loss for Movistar if it goes forwards.
I mean, the setup, would he fit in with Bora? Might be the only Spanish rider in the whole outfit.
There's Roger Adria in the team. There's the one Spanish rider in here. But yeah, it's a largely like German, Austrian sort of style of team. I think it works. It works as well because he could probably be a really good person for like Roglic to have in a Grand Tour. Obviously, that's like another big goal for them, is to make that work and that Tour de France ambition work. And having a big rider like Lascano, who can climb quite well too, would be really useful. He's a bit like Dylan Van Baarle, like quite versatile ruler, can climb quite well too. So yeah, Lascano would be a great addition to Bora. I think that's probably why they're so eager to get him on board.
I mean, they apparently paused their interest in Remco Evenepoel, if that was ever a thing. But yeah, we might as well move on. Jasper Philipsen, the big, we should have started with that. The big draw, Milan San Remo, Paris-Roubaix, second place finisher. The second year in a row, Brugge, green jersey, all these accolades. Super nice guy as well. Yeah, linked with UAE Team Emirates and Bora. Was it Bora? Yeah, so Bora wants everyone. They've just got out the Red Bull checkbook and they're like, we'll have a Remco, we'll have a Philipsen, we'll have a Lascano. Anyone who has good results, we'll take them.
Literally, that's all they're doing. Just got no Red Bulls on board. Let's just start. It's time to go on a shopping spree. It's like a kid who's just been given 500 quid and get launched into a Lego store. It's absolutely insane. Philipsen to Bora. That doesn't make sense to me. That one doesn't work. That wouldn't be an upward move for Philipsen, in my opinion. As a matter of fact, I don't think Philipsen moving is a good idea. I just think he should stay at Alpecin, to be honest with you. Like, why go somewhere else? I presume they must be paying him a decent amount. Obviously, I bet whatever Alpecin are paying him, I bet UAE Oil can pay that, basically. They must be able to sweeten the deal a bit more. Obviously, he's got, you know, he's great friends with Pogacar. Obviously, people who've been watching the sport for few years will know that Jasper Philipsen used to ride for UAE Team Emirates all of a few years ago. He won stages of the Vuelta a España back with UAE Team Emirates. So it feels a bit odd going back there. He was a strong sprinter, but he moved to Alpecin and he's flourished into this absolute world-beating sprinter, classic star. And then going back to UAE, I don't think it's necessarily like an upward move. I don't think UAE have a particularly great lead-out train. I think that Alpecin is better. I think Alpecin are a better cobbled team. I just think that Alpecin fits Philipsen a lot better than UAE. I think the only draw would be just being with Poggi and vibes and then the money, obviously. But what do you think? Do you think that Philipsen should? Do you think that Philipsen staying makes more sense?
I forgot to mention Tudor Pro Cycling was another one of the teams, but
I'm watching.
You want a new watch?
True. I've sold a lot of watches.
Yeah, no, what you're saying completely. UAE were a bit different as well when he was there, and now they're very gacha, Almeida, Ayuso. There's not really a room for him. And if they're trying to be bilingual, hopefully, if he gets back like next year in 2025, like why on earth would you have a sprinter on your team and then have maybe one lead-out man or whatever try and do a Team Sky 2012?
You think that Philipson doesn't wants to win cobbled races more, and Vanderpool gets in the way of that, and that being at UAE gives him a bit more freedom?
We saw that at Paris-Roubaix, isn't it? He was
Yeah.
saying that that was his big target this year, and obviously that didn't happen because Mathieu won it. So
That's true. But if Vanderpool wasn't at Roubaix, do you think Philipson would have won it? I mean, in theory, he came second. But
yeah,
he was also
but
able to sit on
yeah,
because
exactly. Like
had.
he's not gonna, yeah, he's not sitting on if that nobody's
Yeah.
dragging him to the line.
It's like he will be like, okay, I've won San Remo. Realistically, I can win Roubaix. But Ronda's probably a bit of a pull, I'd suggest. But Philipson winning Roubaix is probably like a big goal for him. It's probably also a goal to probably become like world champions if the course suits him one day. But that's not even a team thing at that point. Is it like, yeah, he'll probably have more teammates by staying with Alpecin, so he'll have more Belgian riders to help him out in like a one day race setting. So I think it's neither here nor there. I'd say that the move doesn't necessarily make sense. I don't think it's better going to UAE than it is by being at Alpecin. I don't think it's going to get him better results. Maybe it gives him a bit more freedom in the classics, but even if he wanted to do like a be a leader for Flanders or Roubaix, what if Poggi just wants to do it as well? Like, that doesn't automatically give Philipson the leadership. So, no, I don't think that move necessarily makes sense. But I don't think that he'll be worse off at UAE if he did go.
Does he want to win Tour de France stages? That would be my big question. And I think, as a
Probably.
sprinter, yes. That's it. So, yeah,
Yeah.
Bora, again, same problem. Tudor, yeah, there he could probably have the whole command of the team. But are Tudor going to get into the Tour de France in 2025?
If they had Philipson, they would be.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah, actually, good point.
And Tudor's lead out has actually proved to be pretty good. But that'll just be like such a weird thing. That'll just be such, it'd be like overly selfless. It's like, I am going to take a massive like pay cut, I presume, because it's Pro Conti.
You think he would get a pay? I think there would be a lot of
But like,
Swiss euros
yeah.
or francs going into his account.
That's true, but it just feels like overly like going down to Pro Conti to try and bring the team up is very like Sagan-esque, and
Yeah.
that didn't work for
But
TotalEnergies.
don't you think that was like there were a bit different points of their career? He was kind of already in the decline. Philipson is very much in his prime right now.
Why risk leaving Alpecin? It's working.
Okay, 2 million Alpecin, 10 million you go to UAE, 15 million you go to Tudor. Which one are you going for?
Really? Oh my word. Oh my word.
It's probably not that. Okay, let's make it closer.
Yeah, make it.
3 million you stay at Alpecin, 4 million UAE, and 5 million Tudor. Which one are you going to?
It all depends on what he wants to do. If he wants to win Tour de France stages and stuff,
Yeah, okay,
like,
3 million is with bonuses.
I don't know, I'd stay at Alpecin
Yeah, same.
personally. I would do. I'm not sure how much money influences the decision of riders, to be honest. Got no insight into that. Like, are they thinking about their pension pot, and are they thinking about stocks and shares, ISAs, or like, what's their financial concern? I mean, like, I need to stack up before I'm 35 because I need a retirement fund. I need to be able to just like chill out for the rest of my life. I don't know. If that's the case and he's proper worried, then I'll go to Tudor because they'll probably give you some fat stacks. Or go to UE because you'll probably be able to get a little money off of them as well. You'll just Tadej will just be you'll be like, if I Tadej and I are one item now, where he goes, I go.
Well, speaking of fat stacks,
Yeah.
the Max Verstappen of classics riding, Mathieu van der Poel himself, has extended 10-year contract with, is it with the team or with Canyon?
With Canyon.
Okay. But he's pretty much going to ride Canyons until he's like 90.
Yeah. So, yeah. 10-year deal with Canyon and a 5-year deal with Alperson. So he's on like the same contract extension as Derek G. because Israel Premier Tech make the sensible contract decisions. That's a joke.
Yeah, for Chris Froome.
Do you think, I mean, this is a little bit off piece, but do you think that Canyon, like, they are getting so much airtime with Philipson, with Vanderpool. Vanderpool's just solo for like kilometre after kilometre on the front of the biggest races. Do you think they must be selling more bikes? Because I don't see a scenario where a bike manufacturer could be doing better if their, you know, sales aren't absolutely like optimum. I don't know what they need to do.
Having the world champion in Roubaix going 60 kilometres an hour on cobblestone, not having a puncture, not having any like abrasions on his hands. Yeah, you're right. This is peak Canyon right now.
Yeah. Aren't selling loads of bikes, then there's no hope for the bike industry. That's just it. But anyway, that thing aside, you see more and more of these deals. Vanderpool staying at Alpecin, maybe that is what's causing the Philipson discussion, because obviously Philipson's like, oh, hell, this guy's sticking around, you know? He's staying around until he's what? Vanderpool's what, 29, I want to say?
Yeah.
28, 29, something like that. So he's going to be around until 34, 35 years old, something like that. I don't know what kind of Vanderpool is going to be at that point. But yeah, maybe Philipson's like, oh, well, what's my chances of winning if he's here? Well, it's probably quite high if he's leading out a bit all. Because Vanderpool's a killer lead up, man.
Oh, we might as well finish on a Bora story. Seems like it's Bora EF. Bora FDJ. Now we're back to Bora, just having that little pause with Alpecin. But in terms of Alexander Vlasov, rumored to be going back to Astana, or they're interested in, according to Gazzetta dello Sport. Interesting. Yeah, no, this must be. We talked about this with the Roglic moving to the team, and obviously there's Lennart Kemner looking strong every year. Maybe he has GC aspirations. Jad Hindley in there, Danny Martinez as well. So maybe, and, oh no, Artur Brooks isn't there. Of course he isn't. We had a whole saga about that. But in terms of maybe this is kind of him seeing his GC Grand Tour aspirations go out the window, and he wants to go to a team that doesn't have real prospect right now.
This one does make sense. I think there's too many chefs in the kitchen for Bora at the moment. I say, when you already have Danny Martinez and Roglic and Jai Hindley all in one team, you're kind of already covered for a lot of circumstances, especially when you've got some fantastic sprinters in there, like Jordi Meyers and Welsford, who probably deserve their own backing in Grand Tours too. Yeah, you're probably running out of spaces. So I think it's good that Vlasov is going to a different team. Astana makes sense. I mean, it's where he was before. Never fully understood why he left there. I mean, he has been doing better since leaving there, but I don't think it was necessarily like a big upward step with him coming to Bora. So I think it makes sense.
Has he done better? Because he was in the Giro with them and on the podium of Il Lombardia, and he's certainly not replicated that.
I say he's about level with it. Basically, he hasn't taken
the fifth in the Tour de France.
Just yeah. Exactly. That means more. Doing it in the Tour is more than doing it in the Giro. I say he's basically just like there. He's just kind of flatlined. It seems a little bit rude saying that, but I think that Astana makes more sense. He gets
career-wise, yeah. He's not ventured into the podium. We got that.
Yeah, he gets. He'll get the backing of like the full backing of the team, but Astana,
someone to rally around for them because they haven't really got that. You know,
the goat Luxenko.
Yeah, I mean, like I was going to say, like, podcast favorite. Well, not this podcast. The Echelon Cycling Podcast. What a shameless plug. But yeah, anyways, with that, that's our first cycling transfer talks here on the Cycling Day in Extra or on the Cycling Day podcast. If you're listening on Spotify, hello. And yeah, hit the like button, subscribe to the channel. And of course, check out Patrick on Audio Cycling with all the Velo Games previews. And if you want to see more of him, he also lives over on the Echelon Cycling podcast. But with that, thank you very much for watching, listening, and we will see you in episode 2, which should come up. Who knows the rate of these transfers, but yeah, we'll see you then.